And so that's what I want to talk about today, is how spiritual gifts get stirred up.
That's good.
So let's look at Romans chapter 12. So when we start about spiritual gifts, we have to start with the spiritual gift giver.
Yes.
You can't ignore that. Because it starts with a relationship with God.
That's right.
And I'm going to give you the four keys, because I'm not going to get through all of them, but I'll at least you can write them down. The first one, key number one, is developing focus and alertness in your relationship with God.
Wow.
Developing focus and alertness in relationship with God. Number two is creating a culture that pulls gifts out of people.
Wow.
Create a culture that pulls gifts out of people. Focus and alertness. Developing focus and alertness in relationship with God. Developing focus and alertness in relationship with God. Key number two is creating a culture that pulls gifts out of people.
That's good.
Key number three is losing self-consciousness.
Woo! That's good.
And key number four is impartation.
Wow.
All right, and please wait till how I define that before you run with how everyone else tries to talk about it, because that's not what a lot of people think it is. So key number four is impartation. Key number three is losing self-consciousness. Okay, so we start key number one, developing focus and alertness in our relationship with God. We start with the relationship with God. And let's look here at Romans chapter 12. Hopefully I'm loud enough here. I'll do my best. So it says here, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's where it starts, is when you start aligning your body, your mind, your emotions, aligning those things up with God, aligning things up with your recreated spirit, align those up with God. That's where it starts. And so the thing that goes next is verse 3 through 8. Once you can do verse 1 and 2, verses 3 through 8, you know what that talks about? Spiritual gifts. So if you don't do verse 1 and 2, you can't really do verses 3 through 8. So a lot of people miss that very important key. And so when we are in here in praise and worship, when we come in and we start the ball rolling with worshiping God, what we're doing is we're doing verse number 1.
Right.
We're submitting our bodies as living sacrifice.
Yes.
We are using our hands, we're using our mouth, we're getting our bodies into a place where we're sacrificing our needs, our desires for His needs and His desires.
Right.
And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means when we sing these words, we're not just singing syllables. Our mind is being transformed to not just think about those words, but say, these words are my heart. This is my emotions.
Yes.
This is my will. This is my imagination.
Right.
These things is what is going on inside of my mind.
Yes.
My mind is being transformed.
Yes.
My mind is being renewed, which causes me to be transformed.
Right.
Renewed. It's going back to the future.
Wow.
So it's going back to all the old stuff that the world tries to dump on you. I was like, you know what? We're going back to what's the new thing that God's doing on the inside.
That's
start inside of me.
Amen.
This is my destiny.
Yes.
Starting the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And so that's what we're doing when we're starting our praise and worship, is we're doing verses 1 and 2. All right. Now the transformation starts occurring. And so you start interacting. You start interacting with the Holy Spirit, your spirit, and things start getting stirred up. Now, you need to focus on what God's doing at that point. In your relationship with God, you need to start being alert to what God is saying, what God's doing, because things will start happening. And if you don't notice it, you don't recognize it, they'll just pass right by you. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's what, I don't know, I have my own agenda. It's a relationship.
That's right.
It's a relationship. Yeah. When God shows you something, it's like he's not just going to say, all right, here you go, Judy. I'm going to shove this right down your throat. It's not doing that. It says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. He offers you things. He is not someone that's going to force things into your life. He's going to offer it to you, and it's a call and response thing. As you respond to him, he responds to you. And it keeps going like a ladder, just keeps going higher and higher and higher. And you have to work with that relationship. As you interact, he interacts. As you interact, he interacts.
Right, right.
And you need to start with that. If you don't have the character to start with the focus and alertness of what God's doing on the inside of you, you're going to miss the gifts that he's stirring up on the inside of you.
Yep.
So that's what we have to do. And so you have to, and that interaction is very important. You see that with Jesus. I am shocked at the way Jesus interacted when he was on earth.
Yeah.
It just, yeah. I mean, if I was God, I probably would have done things a lot different.
Yeah.
But he was very much, I don't want to say he was playing a game, but in some ways he was very coy in how he went about things.
Yeah. Yep.
There's certain teachings he would not tell unless the disciples asked. Some of the most major teachings we have in the Bible is because the disciples, the disciplined ones, asked a question.
Wow. That's good.
And, I mean, because some of the things he just saw, just pushed out and taught, they're like, okay, that sounds awesome. But they didn't get it. But it's the ones that interacted with him, said, well, tell us more about this. Tell us more about that.
Right.
And then he starts saying, okay. Then he starts sharing his heart.
Right.
Then he starts sharing his heart. That's the way God seems to work, is that with that relationship. And you got to have that focus and alertness in relationship to start seeking those things out. And you can see that throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
Moses at the burning bush. Yeah. You know, there's a bush on fire. And so it wasn't like speaking to him at that point. Of course, that should have been a pretty clear something. But he's like, it's a desert. I mean, who knows why a bush could have been on fire? But then he took a look, took a second. I mean, the thing that caught, I mean, he wasn't like, it's like, wow, there's a bush on fire. I mean, that wasn't anything. But was only like, wait a minute, that's not being consumed. It's on fire, but it's, that he used his focus and alertness to say, okay, I'm going to turn aside and look.
Right.
And that's when things got stirred up.
Right.
Do you know that character that is inside of him got started 40 years ago?
That's right. Yep.
Because 40 years ago, when he started having a passion for his people. He started focusing outward, and something he started realizing things got stirred up. It's like, I have a heart for my people. You know, his call started getting stirred up about being a deliverer,
right.
And he started interacting with it. Now, unfortunately, he was alert to it, but he wasn't really in relation with God with it.
Right.
So he was alert to what's going on the inside, but he didn't discuss with God about the best way to do it.
Right.
And so he went out and said, all right, I feel this call so strongly, I'm going to do something about it. And he killed someone, and then he had to go in the wilderness for another 80 years till he learned to talk to God about it. But the key is, he was alert to what was happening on the inside of him.
Right.
You can't be dead on the inside. You have to be alert to what
That's
God's
true.
Doing.
Yes.
Sometimes your personal characteristics, there's things that are stirred up inside. They're God. And you got to say, why am I made this way?
Yeah.
And there may be things inside of you that you have a calling for, but when you start getting into this atmosphere, relating and interacting with God, God's like, okay, now let me show you how that works.
Right.
See, my wife's personality and my personality are very different in terms of our, you know, our natural makeup. My natural makeup is very laid back. You know, I'm, you know, reporting in the character, the personality test, I'm the phlegmatic. You know, I'm the one that's like, you know, let everything just be what it is. Now, how, and my wife is, she's the definition of choleric. Oh my gosh. She is a caw, 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 caw. Yeah, you know, yeah. She's, that's what she's like. Now, and so when, but the thing is, when this, our spiritual gifts get stirred up, right. There's things that change, that shift inside of our natural personalities, yeah. Where that phlegmatic thing starts to get straightened out, and all of a sudden, there's more of a directness,
yep.
A more of a focus, a more of a, like, this is where we're going, and this is what God wants to do. And so it becomes aligned and enhanced to what God's saying.
Right.
Now, and my wife, when the gifts of God start getting stirred up, she'll still have that clericness, but yet there is an extreme sensitivity to the Spirit,
yes.
of God at the same,
yes.
time.
Yes.
Where, like, she's yielded to what God wants to do.
Right.
She's like, and she'll, like, her own agenda, she'll set that all aside,
yep.
to go do whatever God wants to do.
Right.
And she's done that. Like, I mean, yeah. I could tell you stories of things that she's like, says, you know what, I'm dropping everything and I'm going across the country to go visit this conference. You know, or I'm going here, this is what God wants to do, and you know what? I can't care about my own personal agenda. I'm just going to follow that.
Right, right.
So you have to be focused and alert to what God's doing on the inside of you. And I could go on and on about the different, there's lots of examples in the Old Testament. You know, Samuel, you know, God was calling him. And see, this Samuel is one of the most amazing characteristics in the Bible. So God called him Samuel. And so out of a dead sleep, this boy, 12 years old, I think, something like that. He wakes up, and he has that discipline.
Yep.
He goes up and goes straight to Eli and says, "You called me." Now, are you 12 years old like that? I don't know. I don't think so. But he had that discipline, that focus and alertness to say, he had that character to say, all right, I'm alert to what's happening.
Right.
So he would wake up, and so finally Eli's like, you know what? You're applying your principle correctly, but not in the right focus.
Right.
This time, don't focus that discipline on me. Focus that discipline and alertness on him.
Right.
And watch where that takes you.
Right. Well,
and so that's what happened.
That's good.
I don't think you understand what happened there at 12 years old. I think God was trying to call a lot of people.
Wow.
At that time. But this one 12-year-old boy,
Jesus.
His mom gave him up. You know that? His mom gave him up. Saw his mom once a year. He's in an environment. He's with two brothers that I would think probably despised him.
Right.
To brother, you're not the real son. You know, Eli, he's elderly. I mean, he had no one to play with.
Right.
He's a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the things, the kind of trauma, things that he might have had to deal with.
Wow.
But he focused all of his efforts on that discipline. And from there, he was in a position, he focused it all on God at that point. He had no one else, really.
Right.
He had nothing else.
Right.
And from there, do you know that Samuel, he was the catalyst for the nation of Israel,
yep.
stepping in the next season of God's plan?
Yep.
Samuel's the only person that operated in three offices of the Old Testament. The prophet, the priest, and the judge, or the kingly anointing.
Wow.
He's the only one that operated in all three.
Wow.
Started when he was 12 years old.
Wow.
And so at that point, when he started walking into God's plan, he realized something along the way. He's like, he understood his anointing, he understood his calling. He very much understood what he was meant to do, and that it couldn't be certain things you couldn't take. You couldn't take away his priestly duties. There's certain things you could not do. But he said, there's some things I can train other people to do, like the prophetic.
Right.
He started a school of the prophets, a Sons of the Prophets, where he would take different people and says, you know what? This is the way it started for me when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
You can do that too.
Wow.
And so the reason he had confidence to start a school is because he knew that this thing was available to everyone in the Old Testament.
Right.
That's why when he worked with David, he brought that same mentality to David. Because David, he's like, you know what? There's certain, obviously you're not going to be a priest, but there's some priestly things that, you know what, you can do too.
Right.
You can minister before the Lord. You're not going to be a priest. You're not going to be offering sacrifices like that. But I tell you what, there's certain things you can do to minister before God.
Right.
There's certain things you can do to prophetically hear from God. And so the things that Samuel operated in started rubbing off on David as well.
Right.
That's one of the reasons David is one of the greatest kings.
Right.
Mm. It's because the same trainable characteristics that were in Samuel were rubbed off on David as,
yep.
David as well.
Yep. That's good.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Wow. So, yeah, and Paul, you know... You know, getting into the New Testament, you talk about Paul. He was a bad guy, obviously. He was a pretty bad guy. He was zealous, and he was very much against God. But yet, his heart was he did those things in ignorance. He says he did these things in ignorance, not really because he wanted to be against God. He wanted to be for God, and God saw his heart. And so, when that road to Damascus, when the light came down and knocked him off his horse. Everyone else, you know, saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. And so he did, and he responded, "Who are you, Lord?" And then he started interacting with God.
Yeah.
He didn't have a closed heart to what God was doing. Obviously, that's very dramatic. But watch what he did with that. He was blind at that point. So he went back, and he didn't get discouraged. He didn't get in depression. He started focusing on God even more.
Yes, yes.
So a dramatic experience that was kind of bad. He got blind.
Yeah.
He pressed more into God.
Right.
He pressed more into God.
Wow.
And so it was from there that because his character was to press more into God and to seek him, God started giving him more, like, okay, here, this is what's going to happen to you. This is the next step. And so Ananias, God said, okay, Ananias, I know you don't like him, but go anyways.
Right.
So Ananias said, go in, and, you know, Ananias, the disciple, created one of the greatest apostles.
Yep.
And it started with Paul's attitude, focus, and alertness. Even though he was going the completely wrong direction,
wow.
He applied that to the right focus,
wow.
The right direction. Quick story. So when I was 18 years old, this is the way it worked with me. My youth pastor at the church I was going to, he saw that I was helping out with youth. I had a heart for youth. And so he said, now it was high school age youth at that time. He says, Tim, you know what? I need some help with the junior hires. Would you mind helping out with the junior hires? And I was like, I hate junior high. That was the worst years of my life. Why would I want to do that? Oh, my gosh. And so, but I did do this. I said, I'm going to pray about it. I listened. And I started interacting with God about it. And God said, yes, go do it. Now, I did not have a vision. I didn't have, a sheet drop out of heaven with junior hires hanging from it. And, you know, I didn't have nothing dramatic happen to me. It was just God says, yeah, I want you to do it. Very simple. I talked to God. God gave me a simple response. And I started helping out. When I started obeying that little area, all of a sudden, things started going off on the inside of me.
Wow.
A love for this group, this age group that I never had before started coming alive. But a new hunger started coming up inside of me. you know, my relationship with God was going a certain direction. And it was good, and I was heading on the normal evangelical path. But then when I got serving with this junior hires, I'm like, oh, God, I need more. God, this is not because I was stressed out or anything, but like, God, these kids,
right.
There's things inside of them that I know you can do. And God, there's callings. My eyes started opening to see the things that He was doing inside of them. Like, God, I want to help them more. I want them. And no one taught me about this, but I said, God, I need to get them around where there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I need to get them around these type of people so their gifts can be stirred up, so they can do the ministry that God's called them to do, the gift.
Yes.
No one taught me that. I just read it in the Bible.
Yep.
And then those things start jumping inside of me. And from there, I'm like, you know what? I read in the Bible about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? Maybe that would help me. So then I started seeking God and going outside of my normal church environment to go to a place where I could actually get filled with the Holy Spirit. And the whole journey started because that one time that my pastor asked me to do something, and I talked to God about it.
Wow.
That started the gifts of God working inside of me to get me where.
Yes.
And see,
come on.
Because at that point, I mean, I couldn't get away from it. I would pray, I would work out, I would do all this, and I would just start seeing visions of things I would be doing in the future.
Yep.
I would just, wow. And I'd stop what I was doing. I'd just walk on the floor and just start preaching. And it's like, this is what I'm going to be doing. And you know, I get whole messages when I was 18, 19 years old doing this stuff.
Wow.
That's where it all started.
Yep. Yep.
That's where it all started. All right. Last thing here. And I'm just going to go through this real quick. And I'm going to stop. This is key number two, is creating a culture that pulls the gifts out of people. That pulls gifts out of people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have a treasure in earthen vessels.
Yep.
So what we focus on is not on the earthen vessel, but on the treasure. You have to acknowledge the good that is in you. That's what Paul says. You have to acknowledge the good thing that is in you. It's not you're like arrogant about it, but you're like, you know you have a gift. You have to know this is what I can do. You got to have some confidence in what God is doing on the inside of you, all right?
Right?
So for this reason, titles were given in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So God, they were not man's idea. They were God's idea. It's like, this is, you know, Moses is, he is the one there. Aaron, you're this. You know, Miriam, you're this.
Right.
You know, they had specific titles in the Bible so that people could focus on what they're called to do. All right? So we're not about putting people on pedestals.
Right.
But when we call someone pastor, we call someone prophet, we call someone apostle, it's not about saying, oh, you're so great. It's so they can function, streamline what they're called to do.
Right. Right.
Jesus was very clear that he says, hey, if you give, you receive a prophet in the name of prophet, you get a? Yes. So this is what Jesus said. And Jesus says, I'm appointing, he created actually a whole new office in the New Testament that was never existed before, called apostle. He says, I'm creating a whole new office here, and I want to be very specific about what that is. That's amazing. I couldn't get into all that. But the thing was is this, you got to create a culture, and it's not about titles, but you have to understand where your gifting is, and you have to call it out.
Right.
That's why I did that to Judy right here, is because so you can know when what's happening. Is that key number one again, focus and alertness.
That's right.
So when you know what she's doing, you when things start happening inside of you, like, oh,
yeah.
That's why that's happening, because of that.
Yeah.
All right, when this person is doing this, oh, and this is getting stirred up. Oh,
yeah.
That's why I'm connected to that pastor, because they have that kind of grace. Like, wow, I'm certain prophetic. They really feed into me. Once they start speaking, I like start getting on the same wavelengths.
Yes.
I start talking like them. I start thinking like them.
Yep.
Probably that's the way you're configured. And you're meant to receive not necessarily that office, but you're supposed to start developing into that gifting. What they're meant to do so you can fulfill your role in the body of Christ. So we have to create that culture that God always intended from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Romans chapter 12. Where this culture, Ephesians chapter 4, this culture where things start happening. Where things, all the gifts start activating so you can start looking like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's good. Amen.
So don't be ashamed of what you have. Acknowledge the treasure you have. Know what you can do. All right. So like,
that's good.
I'm going to end with this story here. I remember when I was in Indonesia, and we got a lot of ministry requests. We had a team that we functioned as, and so I had gotten some training over in Malaysia. By the way, we're going back there again in a week, but I got some training over there with. He is an apostle, but he is a very strong prophetic voice. And so I went to his school of the prophets, and after 2 weeks, what he had, we caught. If you're focused, you follow these keys, you could catch it.
That's right.
And so I started operating what he operated. I started thinking like he thought, and the things that he was receiving and the way he could operate, I spiritually could. I got in line with it. I could receive from God like he was receiving from God.
Right.
That's what the body of Christ, that's what the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are meant to do, is configure your nature so you can receive from God like they do.
Right.
That's the purpose of that.
Right.
So administrator, she received a call from someone saying, "Hey, we got a prayer meeting coming up with a large number of people. Do you have anyone in your ministry team that can prophesy?" And so she was like, "Well," and she was from the mindset, "Well, you can't like expect God just to prophesy on the drop of a dime or something like that. You can't do that." And so she's like, "No, we don't." And so she told me this. I said, "You know what? Go call this person back." I said, "You know what? I've been trained. You know what? I believe God. God can say things for people.
Yeah.
You know what? If this is what they're believing for, I've been trained this way. Listen, call them up. I'll be happy to help them out."
Wow.
So she called them back and says, "Well, we have someone that's willing to serve you guys and can minister." And so I came with the mentality like, "All right, I'm ready to receive." They're believing God for something.
Right.
I'm expecting to receive from God.
Right.
What's the hindrance?
Right.
So, yeah. So we ministered prophetically to about 40 people for about 2 hours or so.
Wow.
So some of them, obviously, some of them were like, "Thus says the Lord." Some of them were just like, "This is what I sense from God. This is what God's saying. This is the things that, so it's not always "Thus says the Lord," but we're hearing from God what God is doing in their life.
Yes.
And that's prophetic ministry.
Yes.
And I didn't put a blockage on my believing by saying, "Well, I don't know what God's going to do." I'm like, "You know what? God has done something.
Right.
God has established something in my life, and I'm not going to doubt the gift of God."
Yes. Amen.
You have to believe in God.
Yes.
When you doubt the gift God gives you, you're doubting God. You have to believe in God.
Wow.
Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you right now for all the things you're doing in people's lives and the gifts you're stirring up.